Hey, today's passage reading comes from John 1:1-14. So if you guys can turn with me. Okay, start reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. At this time, I invite Pastor Chun, and today's sermon title is called In the Land of the Lost.
Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote a short story about a mysterious stranger who appears one day in a seaside town in colonial New England. There he opens an office. He calls it the intelligence office and announces that it is there to recover things that have been lost. He'll recover anything for people that have lost. For a while, nobody comes. The people remain suspicious and aloof. Then they begin to come secretly at first. Some of them come at night looking for money and things that have sentimental value, like a lost ring. Then instead of looking for just material things, they look for other qualities and values. Here's a woman who wants to regain her lost youth. Here's a man who seeks the innocence that he once had. Here's another who wants to recover the joy he once felt in the morning. One by one, they come, no longer looking for material things, but for time, places, and qualities that they once knew and possessed, but now have lost. Now, suppose one opened the intelligence office in the Ithaca area. What would you go there to look for? Some things of sentimental values, they are irreplaceable. Would that be all? What would you go looking for? Something that you lost before. Jesus said, once there was a lost coin, there was a lost sheep, and there was a lost son. And then he said, but the Son of Man has come. It means that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What are you trying to recover? I don't know about you, but I think I'd like to recover just one thing. A sense of lost actions. Here's a quotation for you. Actions speak louder than words. Does this quotation have a negative ring for you? It does for me. It is one of my mother's favorite quotations. She used it often when speaking to my brothers. When their actions were inconsistent with their words, then my mother would say, actions speak louder than words. The trouble is, when our words and actions are not together, the division is not simply in them, but in us. We lose what Jesus Christ calls the purity of heart. Do you know what that means? Purity of heart just means that the impulse of the heart, the thought of the mind, and the word of the lip, and the actions of the hand are all one. In other words, it means that there is no contradiction in us. Sometimes the people can't hear what we say because of what we do. Our actions do speak louder than words because sometimes, sadly, they contradict them. Don't you know? Sometimes, rather more often, in order to cover the inconsistency of our words and doing, sometimes we blame others. But we know it. More often, we don't know it. Something going on very weakly in our own selves, but others know it more than we do. Even when they are thoroughly consistent with them, actions speak louder than words. This is due to the poverty of language that obviously exists. Do you know that one? The poverty of language and the ambiguity of words. I think this is especially true about one thing, love. Never seek to convince someone by saying, I love you. Or those of you who just learned German in one sentence, Ich liebe dich. Is it enough for you to express your love? How can you say that? How can you speak of God's love? Don't you know that it can be experienced and it cannot be expressed in words? Why? Simply because we don't have the language to illustrate God's abundant mercy. And yet, we continue seeking words to express love rather than trying to express it through actions. But listen to what the Bible tells us. What is the meaning of love? Our Jesus Christ didn't say much. He showed his deep compassion by weeping after he saw the dead body of his close friend Lazarus. That's not true. He knew his friend Lazarus would die before he came to his house. Do you know why he cried? John chapter 11 verse 35 said, Jesus wept. That's the shortest passage you ever want to remember. See, Jesus wept. Just two words. Do you know why Jesus wept? Is because you don't have to find the Bible in order to find that one. You don't have to. It is there, you see. Some people just try to look for the shortest verse of the Bible right now. Let me tell you why Jesus wept. Not because of the dead body. Not because of the good memory that he shared with Lazarus. But because there are some people who are crying for losing Lazarus. Jesus shared that sorrowful feeling with them. That's why Jesus wept. Something came to my mind. There was a woman who was crying out to God at an early morning prayer meeting in Korea. She cried, Lord, please give her life back. Lord, you should do it. Please, please. She cried out to God very loudly at early morning prayer meeting. And the pastor there wondered about why she was crying that way. He didn't know. Because as far as he knew, there was no one who was sick in her household. So, after he came back home, this pastor called the woman saying, I heard that you were crying out to God very loudly. Why did you do that? Do you have any person in your household who is very sick? And she said, no. And this pastor was very startled to hear such a thing. And he said, if that's the case, do you have any relative who is very sick? or a friend who is very sick? She said, no. And the pastor was speechless, and he said, well, then why did you cry, weeping very loudly? The woman said, oh, pastor, do you know why? It is because in the TV drama, Gaol Dongha, there is one woman who is suffering for leukemia, and she's about to die, so I wanted to pray for her. You know, I just took a side way from the main content of my sermon. Now let me get back to what I'm trying to say. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't say much about love. He showed his deep compassion that way. What is the meaning of humility? Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't say much either. He took a towel and knelt down in front of his disciples and washed their feet one by one. How could they ever forget that? His actions shook them to the depths of their very being. God, he washed my feet. And he took bread, broke, and gave it to them. Beyond the ambiguity of the words, he did something to actually say to them, and even to us, I love you, so I'm dying for you by breaking my body and pouring out my blood for you. Do you know David Livingstone? He was an English missionary who spent his entire life in Africa. After Livingstone's death, a reporter visited to Africa to see how Livingstone had affected the people there. When he arrived, this reporter asked the natives in Livingstone's mission field, what do you think of Mr. Livingstone? One of the African natives replied, certainly we couldn't understand what he said to us in English, but we know that he truly loved us. How much more powerfully can you be touched by what anyone has done than that? I have one more thing. It's not simply that actions speak more powerfully, louder than words. Because words are ambiguous. It's that they speak louder than words because they are some things that cannot be communicated by telling. They can be communicated only by doing. During World War II, a Dutch woman named Corrie ten Boom and her sister were captured by the Nazis. They were thrown into a German prison where they were subjected daily to beatings and hunger. Corrie saw many prisoners die of hunger, disease, and torture at the brutal hands of the Nazis. During her time of trial, she prayed to God and promised him that if she survived, she would preach about how his love helped her to survive. After the war, he traveled throughout Europe, preaching about how God helped her survive under that kind of ordeal, horrible ordeal in prison. She even visited Germany. One day, in a German village, she spoke about God's love and how we need to love each other. After her preaching, she stood by the door to shake hands with people in the audience. Suddenly, she recognized a man coming toward her to shake her hands. He was one of the Nazis who had severely tortured her and her sister in prison. She said to herself, "Oh my God! She was deeply shaken. And speechless. Horrible memories of her prison experience flooded over her. She prayed to God, "I can accept anyone, but I cannot accept that one." God said, in her mind, in her heart, "Then, what do you mean when you talk about how to love each other in Christ? There were no actions accompanying her words. She was struck by that voice and she decided to love that man. That man who had tortured her and her sister. She ran over decidedly to that man and hugged him, saying, "I love you in Christ." Later she confessed that just by doing that, she found the fountain of love welling up in her. Let me ask you. How could God tell us that He loves us enough to become incarnated for our sake? Isn't it startling to think of God allowing Himself to be born as a poor, illegitimate child in a dirty manger in little town Bethlehem? Not New York, not LA, where you can find a good number of Korean restaurants. In little town Bethlehem, among a group of farm animals. Would you be born that way, in that kind of a dirty place? God did all this to show us His love for us. Goethe said, there was no other way that the highest things, such as love, cannot be said. They can only be acted. By acting, he means that they can only be done. Do you know what I begin to understand? I begin to understand that the incarnation does not only mean that God is speaking words to us. It means that God is the Word made flesh. And then something else comes to me. It is that all God's words are deeds. He has the purity of heart, the fullness of being, the impulse of the divine heart, the thought of the divine mind, and the love of the divine heart, and the action of God's hand. They are all one, and right there. That's why He is unique. That's why He is divine. Because this action perfectly expresses the word, the thought, and the impulse of God's own being as Himself. Have you ever noticed that when God created, He didn't do anything? The book of Genesis says, when God said, let there be light, and there is light. It is because all God's words are these. The Word was made flesh. He doesn't only speak it, He does it. What about our deeds and our words? I know a good number of churchgoers. Oh, I know some Christians, so-called Christians. They claim that they are Christians. They say that God is love. But I know in their hearts there are some people they hate. They cannot look those people eye to eye. What do you think of that? Whenever opportunities are given, they are backbiting. What do you think of that? Horrible ones. What do you think of that? And those gossips are going around on campus. What do you think of that? Oh, there are deep divisions in their words and deeds. Kierkegaard said, let the pulpit be silent. Let the preachers preach by their life. Of course, that's true. Apostle Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Listen to what John says in one of his epistles. Dear ones, our life must not be merely a matter of talk. It must be genuine and show itself in action. Do you know what it means? Let me say it in other words. It means when the worship is over, the service begins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we say that God is our love, that God loves us, and we say that we want to be the instruments of God. Very often we say it, but we don't do it accordingly. Lord, help us recover the lost actions. Let us not ever think. More often we come to service, our faith grow. Lord, rather help us be submissive to you. By living according to what we heard through your messages. Lord, as we come to the table, be with us. Purify our hearts and thoughts. so that we may begin a new journey as your children. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.